Show. So that was me just stalling for like 30 seconds. All right, so let's start the show.
Very weird. All right.
Welcome to another episode of Talking Through the Media. Your home for entertainment news by fans for fans. I'm Chris Fagan, and we don't usually stream on a Thursday, but yes, this is the officially episode 208. Damn, that thing, that stuff that Jameson just gave me just kicked in. We're going to start trying to do this twice a week now. So this is the Thursday episode. I'm going to say it's the more mature episode. Whenever it's me and the guys, you know, I'm going to let loose. I'm going to wear the hat, and I'm going to give my serious look. I'm going to look right at the camera, and I'm just going to turn the sexy on. So in theme of turning on the sexy, let's introduce the rest of the panel, starting with the man himself, Daniel Dyer. What's going on, bro?
What's up? How you doing?
Daniel Dyer, the king of cosplay, all day, every day. You're going to be doing something interesting this week, huh?
I will be going to Dallas Fan Expo on a media pass. So I get to attend it for free. That'll be fun. First time.
That's right. That's, see, they found out. They see what happened was, let me be honest with you. They found out. They're like, dude, wait. You're on Talking Through the Medias? Dude, oh, here, take the pass. Do you want the VIP? You get to talk. No, I'm just joking. He already had that. So that's why I wanted to hang out with Daniel, because I saw he was doing all the cosplay and stuff. I'm like, dude, you gotta give me the behind the scenes in with Scarlett Johansson, because I think you're gonna be hanging out with her all weekend, right? That's amazing.
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure.
That's amazing. And speaking of being hella jealous of you hanging out with Scarlett Johansson all day, we got the one, the only, the man himself.
Yeah, that's all I heard was Scarlett Johansson.
And, Jameson, what's that?
Now, obviously you saw my face. I'm like,
you're like, yeah, fucking right.
Hey, I hope you do. Send me a selfie, man.
Right.
Like, if there's anybody that can take Scarlett away from Colin Jost. So we're gonna talk
It's me in cosplay.
Exactly. Are you gonna be her? Are you gonna go into
Captain
cosplay?
America's ass?
Oh yeah.
Go as
Captain America on Saturday. So.
And she's gonna be like, ooh, I don't know what it is about that look, but I trust you. Like, I know Scarlett. I know you love it. I imagine she makes her husband dress like Captain America.
That'd be great.
Sorry, I just had a moment. Okay. So we're gonna talk about we're gonna keep it short. We're gonna talk about a few things. I know we started off late. I'm not trying to make that a thing. I know that CP time is a thing and a joke in America, but I'm not trying to live up to that stereotype, even though I do it every week. But the whole crowd is like, not gonna laugh at that. But we are going to talk about three main topics, like some things that we came across. It's going to be more of a casual setting this time. And we're going to talk about the Venom thing. You can see it right here. We're going to talk a little bit about the Venom leak. We're going to talk about another thing that's kind of going around with Instagram and people who want to become like famous on Instagram and in Hollywood, and what they feel like they might have to do, or the offers that they get, if you know what I mean, to advance in social media and in Hollywood and things like that. And then we're going to talk about a little bit about being in a situation where you work for the boss's son. So just a few topics that we're going to talk about, and we're just going to have a little casual conversation about it. But first and foremost, the first main thing that came across was that Venom, it was screened over in England, I think it was.
Yeah.
And there was there was footage of Tom Hardy, and they were there at the screening, and they, before the show started, they requested Andy Serkis, director, they said, please, when you see this movie, please do not give it away. Do not spoil what you're about to see at the end credit. And everybody promised. This was on video. They promised. They were like, yes, Mr. Hardy, we won't, you know, do it. But they lied. So they leaked it. We're not going to spoil anything. I didn't read it. I don't want to know. I enjoyed
me neither.
Watching it. So first, let me start with that. Daniel, what did you think about like the first Venom first? Let me ask you about the original Venom. What did you think about it?
Oh, I definitely enjoyed it. Like the banter between Eddie and Venom was great. Yeah. I liked the relationship, and I don't know. So I liked the story overall. You know, the fight scenes were awesome to me and had a good story. So it made me like want more. So, and we're finally getting it. Yeah. So, yeah.
And what about you, James? Did you see Venom, James?
Yeah, we talked about it last week, and I liked it because I wasn't necessarily a purist. I'm not as well versed in the background story, so none of the inconsistencies really ruined it for me. I just liked it as an overall story,
right,
in and of itself. You know, it had action, it had good comedy. You know, I thought the relationship between, you know, Eddie Brock and Venom was funny, how they're going back and forth, kind of fighting each other for power the whole time. I liked it, you know?
Yeah, I liked it too. I really didn't expect to like it. I really went in there with my expectations lowered, and I went to a advanced screening, you know, because we swing that kind of lumber here on this channel. And me and Sean, my friend Sean, we went to it. His expectations were high. He was like, "Dude, this is gonna be awesome and stuff." I was skeptical. I was hoping for the best, but I was prepared for it to be bad. And I remember, if you go back and watch my review on it, me and Sean, we watched the movies. We went to the car in the parking lot, and I always put the phone up, and we do a in the driveway right out of the theater review. And I let him talk first, and he said how much he enjoyed it. And then he went to me, and I paused for a second, and I was like, "I loved it." And it shocked him. You can see the look of shock on his face. I did not expect that I was going to love it as much as I did, and I'm not surprised that it made so much money. And I'm happy it did. I was so looking forward to the sequel. And I've heard from the little things that I was willing to read, I heard good reviews. The people who did screen it, they said they enjoyed it a lot. Like, this is like one of the best like comic book movies. I heard someone say that this is one of the best comic book movies ever made. And that's really saying something. That's because, you know,
that is, considering how many, you know, Marvel, DC, just all the different movies out, yeah, say this is one of the best.
Yeah, they said they crushed it. They said they
now that worries me, because you said you liked the other one so much because you went in with low expectations. Now I hear that, I think I might go in with high expectations and expect a little too much, but I think it'll still be good. I mean, pretty much everything Woody Harrelson in is something that I enjoy. He's a good actor, and he picks good parts and good movies to be in too.
Oh yeah, that was what,
like Zombieland.
Oh yeah. I love Zombieland.
If anybody that's in the live chat, we're gonna talk about three different topics real quick. And if you wanna, if you have any comments you wanna share with us on what we're talking about now. Right now we're talking about Venom, what about you? So, Daniel, you heard about the leak thing. Like, he went on stage and he said, he's like, do not spoil this. And everybody said, "Yes, Mr. Hardy, we won't spoil it." And it was like, "Ha ha, fuck you. I'm good." Like, what the hell? What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, that's just frustrating, because I'm a bit anti-spoiler. So that's just, to knowing that, like, oh, because it was like, it was like a fan event too.
Yeah.
Not like it wasn't like critics watching the movie. So that's why it happened, probably, because it let fans watch it early. And then, it gets the trailer. I mean, it was the credit scene, really, right?
I'm assuming. Yeah. And I have my feelings of what it might be about, and I don't know.
That's what I did too. But like, I just don't want to know it, because it was on Twitter. Yeah. I think they released it on Twitter, and like, I'm barely on Twitter, so I'm glad that's where they put it.
I'm heavy on TikTok, and with TikTok it's more visual. So that means if somebody tries to spoil it on TikTok, it's like, bam, it's in your face.
Boom.
So I'm scared. But
luckily, I've been on TikTok much today, so I haven't seen anything.
Well, I'm a 17-year-old girl, so
I mean, that's just frustrating. Like, it kind of makes, like, you're ruining the fun for everybody. We can't have nice scenes because of this. Somebody out there always wants to ruin it for everybody. And
the damn Brits.
Just like, oh yeah, we did to see it early. Now let's ruin it for everybody else. I saw Shang Chi like 2 weeks early, and I kept secret. I kept silent about it for those 2 weeks. So it's like, I don't know. It's not that hard to do.
Yeah. The blame squarely is on Sony, though. I'm sorry. Yeah. They should have. Okay, so I've been to a lot of pre-screenings. I've been to a lot of press screenings. And guys, if you're watching live, there's a comment box. So if you want to share anything, it's going to pop up right there at the lower right side of the screen. So share your thoughts. But I've been to a lot of screenings before. And with Marvel, it's known that there might be some, you know, spoiler things or spoiler heavy things, or things they might want to keep close to the what's that expression, close to the chest, close to the vest,
right?
And so I've been to screenings where they show the movie, but before the credits start rolling, it stops. They don't show anything with credits or anything with the after credits. I've been to screenings where they would show the whole movie and they would show the credits and they would show you everything. But when it's that public screening, then it's, hey, like, they don't, the average Joe, they just know that they're getting a chance to see the movie so they can spread good word of mouth. They don't really know much about embargoes. That's why the actors were there and Andy Serkis were there to try to say, please don't do, because they knew that if this was a room full of media people, critics, they would be under an embargo. And if they would have leaked anything, then they would never be invited to the next thing. That they know there's a punishment for that. But the average guy is like, dude, you're not gonna fucking tell me what to do. I'm gonna tell everybody that I don't know Pepper Potts and Aunt May, you know, had a love scene at the end or whatever the damn situation is, you know. So they're gonna tweet about it. So this falls to me on Sony.
Right. I mean, like when we watched Shang-Chi. Like 2 weeks early, that they took the phones away. Like either leave your phone in your car at home, or like you put it in this bag and we give you a ticket, and then movie you like come and get it. Which I think that's like probably the best thing to do if it's like that early.
Are you saying that somebody might have recorded some stuff?
I mean, you never know. Cause I've seen that before. Like,
yeah,
I mean, you always see like at San Diego Comic-Con, people always record stuff. Yeah. Even though they're not supposed to be recording at that time, but it always happens at San Diego Comic Con.
And for people that are watching, because your comments are going to come up on the lower right hand side, so if you know what's going on, we don't want to be spoiled. So please don't spoil that on this stream. We appreciate it. So if you don't have anything to say, you don't have to say anything. But if you do have something to share,
no spoilers.
Please no spoilers on it because we don't want to spoil it. Anything else, James, about it before we move on to the next topic? Or
I just. Hopefully, yeah. I don't think places are going to stop showing screenings. I think maybe they'll be a little tighter on. Like, I don't know if they made those people sign NDAs or something.
They usually don't.
Probably not. And maybe that's something they'll start doing in the future. So there are actual, you know, because like you said, the average Joe doesn't. They don't have any recourse when it comes to, you know, somebody whose career isn't on the line for sharing information. So maybe they'll start doing stuff like that. Or maybe they'll start, you know, showing edited versions.
The situation, because I've been to both. I've been to regular public advanced screenings and I've been to press screenings. With the public screenings, it's usually you get the pass through a third party. So it's not like there's a list of names. I mean, to hold people accountable. I mean, even when I go to a public screening, if I violate enough, I'm sure that if they dig into me personally, they could probably still find my the brand and be like, well, we don't want that person or his brand anywhere near any other few. They can find a way to block me. But if I was there at a media press pass and I did it on my brand, they really know who to blacklist from this day forward. But have you gone to many screens? Daniel said you've been to a few, but have you gone to any advanced screenings before?
Maybe like one or two random ones, but nothing where I ever had to sign anything. It was more like, you know, friends in this or something like that.
Yeah, they don't make you really sign anything. They kind of just make an announcement. And and when they start coming in some more, you guys are definitely down. All I have to do is tell them how many tickets to get. You know, if I get invited to something, you guys, you know, I'll let you guys know all when the next one is. Actually, I think I do have some events that are about to come up, so I'll email you guys and let you know.
And we'll be considerate, and we won't leak all the details.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You're about to welcome to Talking Through the Medias. You're about to be spoiled. When me and Sean first started this channel, we would go to the public event screenings a lot, and then I started getting press passes. And now Sean will not go to a screening with me at all unless it's a press pass. Because when it's a press pass, we get to bypass all the quote unquote regular folks who have to wait in that long line, and we're going to that reserve seat with the words reserved for T3 Medias on the chair and stuff. Ever since that started happening, he's like, is it a press screening pass? I'm like, no, it's a regular pass. He's like, no, I'm not going. I'm not waiting in that line.
Like, it's kind of like when you've used the fast pass at Disneyland or Six Flags, and then it's like you try and go back without one, and you're like,
exactly.
Waiting in lines is for peasants. Better than that now.
Exactly. So I don't mind doing it. I still do both. I just love movies. So I just want if there's a chance for a movie that I love that I can get out there and watch early, so I can share my thoughts to the audience before it comes out, I don't care if I wait in line. But I'm not gonna lie, bypassing that long ass line and then going to a reserved seat with the logo on the chair, it feels pretty badass.
You'll see
it's gonna happen. The next event, I promise you guys, you're gonna be right there with me. All right, guys. Let's move on to the next one, guys. Remember, if you're watching live, I see there's a few people here watching with us. If you have something to share, it's gonna pop up on the lower right side of the screen. So if you want to share your thoughts, just type it in below. I know we're live right now. We're on Twitch. We're on Facebook. We're also on YouTube. And just share your thoughts if you have anything to say. But if what you have to say is spoiler related, I appreciate you being quiet. All right, let's move on to the next topic. So a little risque little topic here. So we everyone knows that there are people out there on the in social media in Hollywood who they get just based on, you know, how they look or how they present themselves or what have you. They get propositioned for like a little extra. Like if they get, you know, this happens all the time. If you want to get this part in this movie, you have to do, you know, such and such for the casting director, or maybe some Instagram model gets an offer. There was an Instagram model who was getting an offer for sex, like to go to fly over to Dubai. And she pretty much just said everything that she was about to do. And I think that's what this story is about right here. Exposed the hoax. I don't know if it was a hoax or not, but she was on camera saying the popular Instagram model caught on tape offering her body in Dubai to a Dubai sheik, and she laid it out like everything that she was about to do, and it was kind of graphic. So the topic of this conversation is about people in that situation. I know we wanted to get a female's point of view. We weren't able to get that today, James.
No, we tried.
We tried.
Instead, so, they're doing live. They're doing reaction videos.
So the ladies of Talking to the Media, they're doing some. They're doing another project. We asked, hey, please, would you give a female point of view? And it's like, no. We they'd rather see us, make asses of ourselves. And be like, is it really that bad? No, I'm not gonna say. I'm not even gonna make that joke. But yeah, I don't know if you guys, James, I don't know if you saw the video. You saw the video. I think you were the one who shared it with the group. The girl who was on that video saying she was about to fly overseas to Dubai, and she laid out everything that she was about to do. She got really graphic, and at one point she even mentioned that a 13-year-old boy was also going to be involved. And she said all the things that she was going to and expected to do to and for that 13-year-old boy. And I'm like, what is going on here? So what are your thoughts about that? Like how often do you think like this is like, we're not even aware of it. Like a person is on Instagram, you think one thing, and then there's probably this whole other thing that's going on behind the scenes. Like, how often do you think this is going on? Because I'm not getting any of these offers from me.
I mean, honestly, I think it's something. I think it happens more often than a lot of people think, than a lot of people would like to admit. I remember, I grew up pretty religious, and I mean, I knew what a prostitute was, you know, just because I'm human and you hear Mary stuff Magdalene. About it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mary Magdalene, you know, but I remember when I got into college, you know, this was right after Facebook kind of took over because you had MySpace for a while and then Facebook took over. Right. And it's like you'd meet people at college and you'd add them on Facebook. And now all of a sudden you kind of see a glimpse into their lives. And you know, there were a few like very attractive girls that I met who, you know, like they're a waitress at Hooters or something. Right. And you go on their Facebook and they're constantly traveling the world. You know, they're exactly. They're in college and they're not just traveling or backpacking. They're like staying at all the nicest resorts. And it's like there was, you know, a couple girls in particular who I remember. And, you know, like I said, they like their job, like some of them, one of them, I don't even know if she had a job. The other one was probably like a waitress or something, just like a, you know, and here I am, I'm in college. I'm working like two jobs, like struggling just to pay my rent. And I'm like, I know they're not making that much more than me, but like, you know, last week she was in Dubai. This week she's, you know, in Europe. She's, you know, going to all these countries and posting pictures like in these fancy cars and really nice clothes. I'm like, just those clothes alone, you know, like I know she's not bankrolling this stuff, but she, right. You know, but she wasn't listing her her sources of income, you know, and very quickly I came to realize, you know, through seeing that account and other people's accounts, there's a whole culture of you know, and I mean it's been going on since the humans,
world's oldest, you know, world's oldest profession.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, but now with the international community, you know, like being able to travel and do all these things, you know, there's a lot of girls out there that do it on the down low. And some of them, I think with OnlyFans and stuff, like it's become more acceptable to, you know, get your money through that way. But, sorry, I'm trying to word it carefully so I don't hurt the algorithm here.
No, you're good.
It's become more acceptable. I think back in the day, you know, when I was in college, like fewer people were willing to admit that, but, and I think a lot of people were oblivious to it because, like how they're getting the money, they're just kind of like scratching their heads. How are they getting around? But it's like, to me, I kind of figured out and I was like, all right, I know there's other people. And I think every once in a while they would slip up and you'd see a picture of a guy and it would be a different guy in this country, a different guy in that country sort right. of thing. And, so, I mean, it's been going on for a while, but the stuff in the video, the fact that she admitted it on camera, and I don't know why.
Dude, not only did she admit it, dude, she got really graphic. She said everything that they were going to do to her, what this 13-year-old boy was going to do. I'm like, you just admitted to
pedophilia,
to pedal stuff. And I'm like, it's okay, it's going to happen in another country. But I know for a fact, let me tell you something, I've been to Dubai many times. That was the place that we had to go when I worked overseas. That was the first stop to go to Iraq when I worked in Iraq. I know for a fact that prostitution and all that stuff happens there. I've seen it myself. But I know for a fact that it is illegal there. So it's crazy. But I also know for a fact that they allow it because it's too much money coming into the country. And mm-hmm. they allow it. There's a lot of countries where it's definitely illegal, but the cops or the local authorities turn their backs to it because it's too much money to be made.
Or probably even take a cut from it.
Yeah, it's exactly why. Yeah. Like Thailand, for example. I think the last hour I looked into it, they said a day about $4 billion transitions, you know, on a daily basis for about $4 billion. Yeah. So I was like, so, you know, everybody's on the take. So she, it's just how comfortable she was with admitting all these things that she was about to do.
Yeah. I mean, and prostitution is one thing because, I mean, that's legal in a lot of countries, you know, Germany, you go to Amsterdam, stuff like that. And
I'm not hating on sex workers, but I'm just saying these countries that the country she was talking about, it's not legal.
Well, but part of the crazy thing is the fact that she's saying she's going to be involved with a minor.
Yeah.
And I mean, thinking if the roles were reversed, let's say a guy was to be saying that, oh, I mean, I'm going to go over, I'm going to sleep with this woman and her, you know, 13-year-old nephew or whatever.
Or that, a 13-year-old niece or something like that.
Niece. And it, but it's, I mean.
Oh, dude, the whole world would turn upside down to take him down.
Yeah, this would be on nightly news. You know, it'd be on every talk show. That person would be absolutely ruined.
Chris Hansen would come out of nowhere. I'm like, have a seat over here. Let me talk to you. Let me have. So did you say that you were going to? Yeah, it'll be over. The guy be done.
Oh yeah, like they're like, we have your confession on tape. Like, we don't care what country it's in. Like, you're done. But the, seems to be a little bit of a double standard here, which is an interesting part to the video. I mean, it goes back to that whole South Park episode with the teacher, you know.
which episode?
The one where what's the kid? I think Ike, is that the little kid? He's like a toddler in the show, and he sleeps with his teacher. And
I remember that episode.
And the parents, someone finds out and they're furious, and they're, you know, like, you gotta stop this teacher, like, she's doing all these bad things.
But they were in love. Like,
well, but she was the hot teacher, right? So she wasn't just the teacher, she was the hot female teacher. And so every person they go to confess it to, all the guys are like, nice. That's their response. And
on this channel, I didn't make it a daily or weekly thing, but I did it more than once. I used to be, and then people started to question me why I was so fascinated with that, the whole story about why so many teachers in this day of age still get caught, to this day, are still doing that. You back in the day, like, I'm 41, I used to, you would only hear about it here and there. Like, I knew a guy, or I knew a person that happened to, or I knew a guy who did have a relationship with a teacher and stuff like that. You would only hear about it here and there, and the person get arrested, it would be on the news, and it would be over. But in the age of social media, I thought, like, okay, iPhones are now a thing now. We're way more connected than we ever before. I thought this stuff would be, like, come to a standstill. It increased. Like, it's like people were able to get caught faster because they weren't able to keep up with the technology. I was like, how are these women still, to this day, still doing this and getting caught so easy? It's like it's crazy. It fascinated to me on how, and it fascinated me how many times it happened in Florida. But that's just another story. But
how much everything happens in Florida?
Right, like, craziest people in the world, right? But it fascinated me to a point where I felt like, okay, I need to kind of stop diving into this. Like, I feel like I'm obsessed with this story.
Well, it's probably always gone on. It's just now people can hear about it faster. Well, people are stupid when it comes to technology, and you know, they'll text, they'll send pictures.
Erase that from your phone. You promised me, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and they're dealing with teenagers who, what would you do if you're a teenage boy and you were involved with, I mean, anyone hot, but like your hot teacher, like you would want, you know, most kids are gonna tell.
I aced the test, didn't even study. Ask me why.
Yeah. Someone's gonna brag.
Everybody's gonna brag. People put this label of a gossip on women so bad. We are the big, we gossip. We just get away with it. Like, dude, the stigma doesn't stick on us. In the barbershop, in the playground, in the middle of school, in the middle of having the relationship with the teacher, the guy's probably texting simultaneously. We tell. We're going to tell. That's just the way we are.
I mean, yeah, this plus might happen for years and years, like way before we had social media. And just the fact that, like, I mean, it probably many of these cases went untold because there was no way to, like, keep it, there's basically a way to keep it private before all this social media came out. It's like, who knows how many times it actually happened throughout those decades. Yeah. And
when it starts getting exposed, I remember specifically one of the things that was discussed is it even really... I can't say the whole word, but SA, if you know what that stands for, assault. Mm-hmm. Is it really even SA if it's a woman? Because for that to be, people were actually questioning whether or not if it was really assault, because if it's the woman who is in the position of power, then it's technically not. I'm like, and then it was like that started to become a debate for a while. Like women were getting lesser. Like if it was a female teacher, there would be a lesser charge on the female teacher than it would be if it was a male teacher, if that makes sense.
Right. And like men who come forward and like reveal like they got, you know, essay by a woman.
Then there's a stigma behind that. Like, yeah.
And they'll like get laughed at or like be called a wuss or yeah, like exactly. You're a wimp or, you know, but come out and just not owning it. You're like revealing that you were assaulted but yeah, it's basically you get made fun of if a man comes out and reveals it sometimes.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they'll like bully you about it and all that.
Yeah, exactly. There was a stigma about it. Like guys couldn't confess to it and whatnot. But no, and then the studies show that no, that the long term effects it's on both sides. But like the question of like these people, like they get propositioned, like going back to what we were originally talking about, Instagram and like in Hollywood and stuff, like these offers that come to these people, like on TikTok, for example, like you'll have the algorithm is all over the place on TikTok. Like you'll have a grown woman wearing a bikini. There's a friend of mine who I've been trying to get as a guest on the show because she's very entertaining, but she's very proud. She's like, you're not going to body shame me, anything like that. She's a very attractive lady and everything, but she likes to wear bikinis. And that's not illegal. And she would get her stuff, her content gets blocked and banned all the time. But let it be a minor wearing the exact same thing, doing or dancing way more, you know, provocative or something. And it gets like boosted and like she would probably get thousands of millions of views. But a grown up doing the exact same thing sometimes will get, you've just committed a community violation. Your content is being blocked for a couple of days. It's like there's no consistency and there's no protection from these minors and stuff. So it's like, what is going on with social media where these like minors and then some women that are getting pushed, like the only way you're going to reach fame or recognition is if you know put yourself out there like that. And guys too, like if I was to right now show like my six pack and my ripped Arnold Schwarzenegger body right now, I'm sure that we would have like a million people watching right now. But
oh, of course.
But I'm wearing a regular shirt and stuff, and I'm keeping it cash, you know, because I don't want the internet to break, you know. So it's like, you know,
you want to earn it the hard way, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I want to be known.
You want to work for it.
This is
expert mode right here.
I want to tease the algorithm a little bit. You don't know that every time I put my shirt on and take it off, that it's like a washboard. It gets washed every time. That's it. I'm a tease.
It's like this isn't a type of channel. We're not that kind of channel.
Not yet.
Unless the 100,000 likes.
Unless the right. comments come in and say, take it off. I'm like,
if we did 10,000 likes, you did this reward.
And I'm like, watch this space. But that's our thought. So share your thoughts. Let us know what you guys think about all that. And real quick, because I have the comments up real quick. So this is what some people were saying about the topic. Like Buddy Love. Buddy Love. That's I know that's a movie reference. Buddy Love. Was that the Nutty Professor? But anyway, I think that was the Nutty Professor. This isn't a shock how y'all think most of them chicks get that stuff on Instagram selling flat tummy tea. Larry Davis says this happens way more than we think.
Right.
Respect, dignity, and humility is for sale. BK for real says, man, listen, if I was a badass beesh at those prices, I'd take a stab at being an Instagram skeezer too. Trust me, if Arab oil beeshes started paying for male Instagram, DYCK is what he spelled, hit the gym.
I'm gonna hit the gym.
Yeah, exactly. It's true. It's true. If the roles were reversed, and I'm sure there are males out there who get propositioned and are putting themselves out there and get those same offers and stuff too.
Wait, where?
Well, I'm pretty sure that the guys are probably more discreet about it. Like if they're professionally doing it, I'm pretty sure they probably might be more discreet about it. girls are more. Well, I mean, no, most of. I mean, but the stigma of S work is not as what it used to be. So with only friends is what I'll say, and all that stuff with that website out there now. It's the stigma that used to be out there back in the day is not the same as it is right now. I'm about to get on that website right now. I mean, like, and put some ground beef on my feet. So. I do think this channel gets paid.
Definitely
for
come a long way. Oh, the secret is out.
Yep, that's how I do it. That's all we do.
You gotta sell some feet pits.
Yep, that's right. That's how.
I was wondering how you could afford that fancy microphone.
That's how you're gonna get in those Venom. The see Venom too. Yeah, I gotta do it. All right, moving on to the last topic of the day, guys, real quick. So, what is it like when working for the boss's son? So, Jameson, he shared this story with me. And I thought it was hilarious. So Rick Ross gifts his son his own Wingstop franchise for his 16th birthday. Now, at first, when I read this, I was just thinking that this was just a funny story. Like, you know, when you got it, you know, you're going to flaunt it. You're gonna do the best for your kids. But Jameson said something before we started the show. Was like, damn, could you imagine working for the boss like the boss's son like that, and the dude is 16 years old. Like, I didn't even think of that. Like, dude, let's start with you, James. Let's say you were working at Wingstop. You're the same age that you are right now, but you for some whatever reason was you needed to get a part time job. You're at Wingstop, and then oh my god, hey, look alive, Jameson. The boss is coming, and you see this 16 year old kid. Sagging, probably. I don't know Rick Ross's kid, but I'm just gonna stereotype. Probably sagging, coming in. Probably got a like three different girlfriends from like three different countries, asking about productivity. What's your first thought?
Man, I hope he'd be cool, you know. But I mean, either way, like having a 16-year-old be your boss, there's just something about that would, you know, rub me the wrong way. It's because, you know, like the kid didn't have to work his way up through the ranks. He
hit the sperm lottery.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in my experience with any job is it's hard having somebody who's your boss who's never done your job, right? Because their expectations can be unrealistic. You know, like they don't know how to do your job and they're trying to tell you how to do it. They've never been through the struggle, right? And so I don't think that, I mean, he's 16 years old. He's probably never had a job like at all. And all of a sudden he's the owner / you know, boss of all these other people who are just working. Like, and if you're working at Wingstop, you know, you're working there, you're trying to survive.
Yeah.
You know? So hopefully he's cool. And hopefully he's you know, a good boss. And I mean, I'm sure he's not doing it completely on his own. His dad owns, I forget what it said, like 25 other Wingstop locations.
It was around there, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure I doubt his dad would just throw him in and be like, I'm not going to teach you anything. You know, hopefully his dad's mentoring him and also
throw him to the wolves.
Yeah. Teach him to be a good boss too. But at the same time, I just keep getting the picture of Joffrey from Game of Thrones, you know, like the ultimate worst case scenario of when a kid becomes the, it's like, oh no, here he comes.
The wings
hide,
fell on
hide.
The floor. Pick it up and serve it to those peasants. Oh,
or I'll feed you to the
all
dogs.
Right, somebody poison his wine.
Oh, yeah, right. And then all of a sudden, if you piss him off, all of a sudden, then here comes probably all those employees. Like, here comes one of my favorite rappers. I can't ask for his autograph or I'll get fired. I can't bother him. I can't, you know, you're kind of starstruck. You're upset at the same time working for a minor. You're like, you don't know what to do in that situation. You're like, you're 23 years old or something. You're working for a 16-year-old, and you're one of your favorite rappers is his dad. Like, what do you do in that situation? It's all messed up. So, you hope it's cool at least.
Yeah, and I wonder how many aspiring artists are working at those 25 or 26 wing stops. Just like, man, the only reason I'm working here is to get a record deal.
That demo, that demo
now,
tape.
Now I got to deal with this little kid.
That
so
demo
pumped.
Tape is always hiding under the secret sauce.
Yeah, the demo tape is the secret sauce.
What would you do?
That's funny.
What would you do, Dave, if you was in that situation? Like,
oh man, I mean, because that'd be, I mean, for someone like that's like way less, he has like way less life experience than I would have.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm 30, so like I've been through college and had to deal with living on my own for a little bit and like just the, all like that, this, you know, it makes MF, you.
This MFer is still in the 10th grade.
Right. It's like, I mean, I've had like, you know, there's been, I've had like life experiences already and, you know, seen how the real world is. And this kid is coming in here like, oh, he automatically gets to be like the boss of this location.
Yeah.
And who like barely knows anything about the real world. And it's just like, boom.
You know,
that'd be pretty frustrating to like, and then I'd take orders from someone who's half my age and basically, and
half your age and 10 times the income. And
yeah. Right. And so, oh, and like, just to like, just to boss me around when he knows nothing of the real world and be like pretty like aggravating and be able to like keep your tongue because it's, if you want to work there, you have to.
He's trying to give a motivational speech.
Right.
You know what? You made me think of, y'all made me think about something. Like if I was in that situation, because I have two boys, or even my daughter, if I was in that situation of power that I would be able to just straight out give my children something like that. Mm-hmm. I think now I always thought I would probably do the same exact thing that Rick Ross just did for his son. But now I'm thinking, after talking with you guys, I'm thinking it would be more beneficial if
have them start at the bottom.
Have them start at the bottom.
Yeah.
The very bottom. And yeah. Just like anybody else, if you want this to be your, if you can prove that you can work your way up after, because that's going to make you a great manager. If you know what everybody mm-hmm. below you has to go through, you right. will know how to lead them and you will know how to inspire them and encourage them and you will treat them with dignity and respect, hopefully, unless you're just a straight up bored narcissist.
And make them live on those people's wages for a little bit.
Exactly.
So I mean, and that way, like if they do want to be in that environment and own a Wingstop, they will be able to relate to the people working under them. Where it's like, oh man, you know, I had to live on, you know, if they're a delivery driver, they're like, I had to live on that wage. I had to live on the, you know, this person's wage. And so when they talk about their car breaking down, you know, like they understand what the struggle is versus just like. So what's the big deal? Like my dad just bought me a car and just gave me the Wingstop.
Like, yeah. almost like.
Like okay, so get another car. You
like
know, Will, just go
like
fix
Will,
it.
Or it was Jaden. Yeah. Like Will Smith's son. Like, what do you mean? Just like your car broke down. Then buy. What,
just get a new one.
Where's your? What about your third? Your second, third, fourth, or fifth car? Like that total disconnect. I mean, yeah. The fact that there is a safety net always there. Will always definitely be present, and
mentally would, that affects you differently.
Yeah, that also affects you differently too. So, I would try my best to teach him that lesson. But even though at the end of the day, that kid would always know. So it all depends on
that,
Rick.
They'll never be homeless. They don't have to ever worry about that.
Exactly. So it really falls on Rick on how he handles it. Like, mm-hmm. He's not gonna let his kid probably fall all the way to the gutter. But if he teaches him that if you mess this up, I'm not coming in to fix it. If you mess this up, you're fired, and I'm not giving it back to you. Obviously, you can't handle it, and I'm not gonna give it to you again. I would make him compete. Like there's the guy that's been working there for months or years or whatever, and y'all are competing for the same thing. I'm not just gonna give it to you because you're my son. If he's better for the job, then I'm gonna give it to him, and you're gonna work for him. Like I'm gonna and he can just do with that whatever he wants. But I think the lesson at the end of it would be if you could prove that you can handle it, then I will bless you and grant this. Like everything to you, the keys of the castle to the whole thing. But if you can't at least do that much little bit of work, then no, I'm not gonna put you in that position to treat those people like an asshole. And there's just too much room to be like a little like what was it, the reference from Game of Thrones?
Joffrey.
Yeah, too much of a position potential to be a little Joffrey.
Oh yeah. And there's already too many Joffreys out there.
Yeah, I mean me, but I mean I try to keep it in check as best as I can. But I don't know. We don't know the whole story. I mean, maybe for all we know, maybe Rick Ross is the kind of dad that is like that. For all we know, his son is because he's got that mentality. He could be working his son harder than any. He could be 10 times harder on his son just because he doesn't want his son to be like that. That would be interesting.
It's true.
That's the situation I want to find out.
Like there was a, it's like one quote, kind of like it was from Iron Man 3, but like it was like failure is the fog in which we like glimpse triumph.
Yeah.
It's basically saying like, oh yeah, there's gonna be failures in life, but it'll give you like a learning experience that you won't succeed at everything, and it'll like build you up to be like a stronger person. So I got that from that quote in that movie, and what's the other one? Like, what's to say? What builds character? What's that quote? Is it like challenge builds character or what? I can't remember exactly.
From the same movie?
It's not really a movie. It's just like a thing in the real world. Like they always say, like something.
I know what you mean. I don't know the quote.
It doesn't kill you. It'll make you stronger.
Batman Begins. Why do we fall? Right, that so too. We learn how to pick ourselves back up.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you're not going to succeed at everything if you're. Yeah, you know, if you're just working on your own.
Yeah, if it's just granted to you all the time, you're gonna have that arrogant like way of looking at everything. You're like, oh, if it breaks, my dad will feel like, you know who my dad is. Like oh
man. Yeah,
I wouldn't want to work for that guy.
And that's basically like stuff like that like doesn't make you like a positive part of society. It just kind of needs you to like. What was I trying to say?
Yeah, it's basically you a shitty boss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Constantly like surrounding yourself with yes men all the time and stuff like that. You're not really. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I couldn't do it. And I, you know what? And like for as a benefit of the doubt, for all we know, Rick Ross is probably preventing his son from being like that. For all we know, I didn't even read the article. Maybe it says that he granted his son 6-year-old with his own Wingside franchise.
Now you're the boss. Capital B O S S.
Exactly. Like you know who you talking to? I'm the motherfucking boss. You're now officially the boss. Keep going. Ross is currently the franchise owner of more than 25 Wingstop locations. He recently helped the company launch Thighstop, which was a way for the business to cope with the shortage of Wingstops. Over the summer, Rose spoke to Complex about his support for Wingstop and why he thinks it's important to let everyone know about the brand. Well, first and foremost, my personal passion for it hasn't wavered any over all the years. I've loved Wingstop. You see, I'm still repping it like the first time I had it, and when I eat Wingstop, it's still like the first time. So this is just basically him just talking about his love for the
wings. He loves wings.
He just loves wings, obviously. But what is
who does?
Is that his son? Is six? Oh my god!
Yeah, that's the boss right there.
Oh my god!
That's who you got scheduling your shifts and
the damn balloons on a gold throne. Yeah. I'm sorry,
it's Joffrey.
I would have quit. He's sitting right on the throne. Right there. That's a Joffrey pose right there. I would have quit. Now, if it's only he's only the owner of it by name only, and there's somebody else running it, maybe that's the situation. But you know for a fact he's gonna try to impress his girl. He's gonna get in the car after the bell rings. They're gonna drive over to his Wingstop and order a whole two of those bags. You know he didn't pay for that shit. Look at that. Right. Look at those two bags right there. He didn't pay for it yet. Well, technically, I guess he did because he owns it.
So I found the quote. It basically said, "Adversity builds character."
Well, and I don't know. He's slouching in a throne.
So I feel like he's not gonna. He hasn't dealt with many adversity in his life.
I didn't pay for this chicken.
Right.
Look at it. Everyone wish my son, Big Bank. A happy 16th birthday. Today he became the owner of his first Wingstop franchise. You are now officially a boss.
Like, boy, but that was hard to do.
Woo! Not. So much, wow. It only took
That's crazy.
I just wonder why, with all the gifts he could have gotten his 16-year-old son,
a trip to Dubai with some of those girls from the last segment that we talked about.
Yeah. I mean, but I mean, like, there's a lot of other investments. I mean, you could buy your kid stocks or bonds or real estate or something. I mean, maybe he just loves Wingstop so much that he's like, I love it so much. Maybe you're going to love it so much and you can have your own. But I'm trying to figure out the rationale here. Like why give him a Wingstop for his 16th birthday.
I mean, I would have had him working there. I mean, you want to be the actual manager? You want to own it? I mean, if you can work yourself up to responsibly to the manager level, I will make you I will now hand the key. When you're 18, I mean, well, not legally. I mean, he's 60 because he's 16. When he's 18, if I know he has the maturity, then yeah, I would let him be a public known fit, you know, boss. He could go in and be like, hey, why haven't you cleaned up? You know, blah, 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 blah. But at 16 and unless, for all we know, unless that's how he raised them in the house. I mean, we don't know. So.
Hey, you just got your driver's license. Here's a Wingstop.
I just, I don't know. This picture just tells me. Are you able to get tattoos when you're not 18? I'm loud, all right. I'm joking.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know. You guys, you share your thoughts below. Let us know what you guys think. I don't know. I don't think I would have. Hey. Could be the greatest boss of all time for all we know. Sure. It could be a party every day at that Wingstop for all we know. But let us know what you guys think and share your thoughts below. You guys in the chat room that were watching, you guys weren't chatty today. Nobody in the comment section. I set this whole thing up. Or did I do something wrong? Let me see. Was the chat room, was it not on? Was the chat's not on? No. I don't know. Let me double check. I don't know. You guys weren't chatty today. I don't know. Well, I'll do better at promoting the show beforehand. This was like a last minute thing. But I appreciate you guys for...
Hey, I put it on Facebook, hoping people would catch on.
I know we didn't give it enough time before we started, but for future reference, that's what the box right there at the lower third is for. So if you guys ever have something to say during the live chat, just let us know. I'll close it out. So starting with Daniel, if people want to find you online, let them know where they can find you.
Yes. So I'm a cosplayer for about 5 years now or so. And, mostly there's my cosplay. It's Dyer Cosplay on Instagram. So DYER Cosplay. And if you're, into seeing many different cosplays, you can check me out there.
And let them know again where you're going to be out this weekend.
Oh, yes. I will be out in Dallas, and it's called Dallas Fan Expo, and it's at their big convention center. Was it Kay Bailey Hutchison, I believe?
And you're going to have a lot of recordings and do a lot of interviews.
Yes, right? Yes. I have to promote the con, basically, and take pictures and go live to, since they're giving me a free pass to awesome. Go to the con.
Awesome.
It'll be a lot of fun, though.
Awesome. And Daniel and Jameson Lynch, if they want to find you online, let them know where they can go.
You can find me. I have a photography web page. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook under Jameson Everett Art. Also have a couple of YouTube channels I'm working on. Infamous Maximus is one of them, which I'm going to be putting more videos on here in the next coming weeks. Cool. So just stay tuned for that.
Awesome. And you guys know me. I'm that guy that's always bugging you guys and annoying the hell out of you on YouTube. Chris Fagan, if you want to find me directly, you can go to Chris W. Fagan on all the social medias or at T3 Medias if you want to reach out to me or any of us here on the brand. And if any questions, comments, concerns, you want to share any topics, anything that you want us to talk about, anything you want us to react to, let us know at T3 Medias on TikTok, on Twitter, Twitch, all of it. We're live on all of those things. And let's just keep talking, guys. So until next time, guys, keep it right here. Check us out. We're going to have more reactions, more reviews, more stuff coming up in the week. We got segments coming up today, tomorrow, and throughout the week until the next live. Every Wednesday, every Thursday, come check it out. And just share your thoughts and your comments, your questions, and concerns. Put it in the box below, and let's keep talking. This weekend, we'll even share those on the next episode of We Got Your Mail. So stay tuned for that for this weekend.
And I'll reveal my photos with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah. And Daniel's going to have Scarlett Johansson live and on time on his we'll see the archive pictures that were very hush-hush on that. So until next time, guys. Check out the podcast, support the channel, send your comments, and let us know what you're always thinking at all time. And until next time, peace.
Our supporters help make all this content possible, so make sure you check out our Patreon page so you can help us bring you the content you want. Push the pedal to the freaking metal. I'm turned up just like heavy metal. Yo. Turned up on another level. Push the pedal to the freaking metal. I'm turned up just like heavy metal.